You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Tulare County has one of the highest COVID-19 death rates in California, due in part to outbreaks in nursing homes. And the county just voted to reopen businesses before meeting health benchmarks set by the state. FM89's Alice Staniel spoke with Dr. Harjoth Mali, Medical Director of Critical Care at Cahuilla Delta in Visalia, about the patients he's seeing, what it's like to work in the ICU, and what advice he has for the public.
Dr. Mali, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's first talk about who is being admitted to the ICU. I know you're seeing a lot of older people coming from nursing homes, but we also know statistically people of color are being hit harder with the virus. Are you seeing that in Tulare County?
So the first part of that, yeah, I mean, we are seeing elderly patients. They're the most at risk for disease progression and complications. So we are seeing groups of patients that are older. And the second part of that about persons of color, you know, Tulare County, as you're aware, is the demographics are heavy in the Hispanic population. And so even within that demographic, I mean, you have already persons of color, there's also a higher rate of diabetes and hypertension and morbid obesity within the county. So we're seeing sort of the same demographic we've always seen in our ICU, because those risk factors increase your risk for multiple different types of medical complications, and often severe complications that may land you in the ICU, irrespective of whether you have COVID or not.
Are you also seeing more patients with issues like heart disease or diabetes that perhaps weren't dealt with because they were afraid to go to the ER?
No, we haven't seen that kind of a rebound yet. A lot of times, you know, when you talk about complications from comorbid illnesses that need to be admitted to the hospital, these aren't elective type of complications. I mean, these are types of things where people don't have a choice. They have nowhere else to turn other than hospitals, because that's the only place you're going to get the kind of care you can to deal with those problems. And whether you wanted to avoid the ER or not, at some point, we would expect that if there was an avoidance, that there would be some sort of rebound where we'd see a lot of complications from the lack of treatment. But we never did see that. We just saw a low census in general, like the rest of the country. And now we're starting to see a little bit of a shift back to our normal pre-COVID numbers of admissions, but not in some sort of way that suggests that there's a huge rebound from the lack of care because of fear of not coming to the emergency room.
And we know healthcare workers are at greater risk of getting COVID-19. Have you had any healthcare workers in the ICU who have been infected?
There have been, you know, nurses that have been infected. Just recently, a colleague, an intensive care physician within our group, found out after having symptoms that he tested positive. Thankfully, he's doing okay. He's at home in self-quarantine and feeling okay. I just touched base with him recently. So, yeah, we have, it's at home for us.
Tulare County supervisors voted Tuesday to reopen businesses and churches immediately in defiance of the state's public health orders. As a health provider dealing with the most serious COVID-19 cases, and knowing that it also puts you as healthcare workers at risk, does this concern you?
Sure. We were prepared from the onset when we didn't know what the future was going to bring us, to be prepared to handle and expect to handle a surge of patients with COVID-19. And we had to focus mentally on what that meant for us personally and our own safety. And I think that, you know, having that month or 2 months of emotional preparation time kind of eases the tension a little bit, and understanding that we now be facing a second surge. But, you know, this is a really difficult question to answer, depending on what kind of scope I'm using to view the question. I mean, I'm a healthcare worker. I'm an intensivist. I work in ICUs. But at the same time, I happen to be a father and a relative and a friend of many people that own businesses that have families that are concerned about putting food on the table. And I think that it's always best to do things in a measured way, where you can try and focus on worst case scenarios and understand if you're prepared to deal with worst case scenarios before taking a plunge. And I think that there certainly is a risk, but I don't think that we're never going to have that risk. It just depends on when are you prepared to pull that trigger. And phasing into it seems to be reasonable. If we're going to leapfrog phase two and go to phase three, sure, there is the potential risk. But it depends on what side of the fence you're looking at things. I mean, for an intensive care doctor to be concerned about risk to staff and to colleagues, at the same time, others are, you know, on the other side of the fence, you're concerned about what happens when you're not able to get your business started.
And yet, as an ICU doctor, you're probably going to be dealing with this for months on end. Does that wear you down just thinking about that?
You know, I don't want to speak for all intensivists, but we tend to be a resilient group. You go into it knowing that you deal with the sickest patients in the hospital, and you tap in and you tap out, you rejuvenate and you come back. I think the hardest thing to cope with is the uncertainty of whether or not you have resources available to help you. And I think we do. Like I said, we're lucky enough to have a robust critical care group, a very supportive hospital. We work with teams that get along and do standard of care practices and take care of patients the best we can. And we got together very quickly and put together many different sort of policies that deal with COVID, complications of COVID, disaster planning. These are the things that wear you down. It's the uncertainty. Are you prepared? Are you not prepared? Do you have backup plans? Do you know what to do if there's a crisis? You know, everybody gets dealt with these kind of curveballs in life. It's a question of how well prepared are you to deal with them.
You've also held several celebrations for COVID-19 patients who have come out of the ICU. Tell me about one of them and what it was like for you as a doctor.
We actually had, I think people are now more and more aware that we had a 91-year-old female from a nursing home that had a terribly severe case of COVID. And, you know, she did okay. I mean, she made it out of the hospital. She was here for just a little bit over a month, and she went back to her nursing home. And I just spoke with her granddaughter today, actually, who happens to be a close personal friend of mine. She said that she's doing well and she's eating and getting back to her usual routine there. You know, I really just, it's a tremendous sense of pride, honestly, in the group that I work with and the staff members, the doctors, our APPs, nurse practitioners and physician assistants and nurses and respiratory therapists. I mean, they really went above and beyond to make it work for this patient who we thought wasn't going to make it out of the hospital when she really got into the thick of it. But even being at the age of 91, I mean, she was engaged in doing some voluntary type of maneuvering where you often hear the word proning within the ICU world, proning, being put in the prone position. And it's very interesting that that in very sick patients with COVID, they develop something called ARDS. It's adult acute respiratory distress syndrome. And to try and improve their oxygenation, we remove them from the usual conventional supine position on their back, and we physically put them in a prone position. They're often paralyzed chemically to do this. But when COVID hit us, very quickly, all the blogs, the international critical care blogs and national blogs, everybody was starting to try preemptively the same techniques in patients before they even hit the ICU out on the general medical floors. And we did that with her. She was in the prone position, and thankfully she complied with these types of difficult recommendations, and they're not comfortable, but she pulled through, and it was just an amazing success story.
Well, as a medical professional who has seen the ravaging effects of this disease, what advice do you have for the public?
Yeah, that's a good question. The strategy to try and not get it is rather uncomplicated, isn't it? You know, social distancing, self-isolation, use a mask, don't congregate in public places. The recipe for not getting the virus is rather straightforward. And I hope that the majority of the public, I think it's true, understands that this isn't a hoax and this is very real. I think most people at this point probably know someone close to them that have had it or some sort of form of 6 degrees of separation where they know that this is an authentic thing. And my advice is to adhere to those guidelines. They can save you. And we've seen, more importantly, for people who choose to ignore it, that they can get themselves sick. And sometimes they die from this. You know, this really isn't a time to exercise your political views of, oh, I'm not going to wear a mask. Sure, you don't have to wear a mask, but certainly you need to be sensitive to the people around you who are concerned about their health, their children, their mothers, their fathers, their loved ones, their wives and husbands who have immunocompromised states. And they're just asking in such a tragic time, in such a difficult time, that everybody be compassionate and fair to each other. And so, you know, if we're going to reopen, people have a choice. They don't have to go to businesses that choose to ignore strict guidelines to prevent infectivity. And my advice would be for the well-being of all of us to get over your individual need to make a point that you don't have to follow rules, and to allow some compassion and some patience and compromise.
Well, that's good advice for all of us to heed. Thank you so much, Dr. Molly.
My pleasure.